Hebrews chapter number 6, verse 13. If you found that, would you stand with me as we read a few verses here, 13 through verse 20. Verse 13 says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men barely swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Thank you so much. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your precious promises in your word. Lord, as we look at these covenants, Lord, I thank you that you are the covenant-keeping God. And I ask you now that you would meet with us as you promised you would, where two or three are gathered together, that you are here in the midst. And Lord, I pray now that you would bind Satan. I pray that you would expel every demon and devil of hell. And may your Holy Spirit reign supreme. And Lord, may you teach us and show us marvelous things out of your word. Thank you for what you're going to do. Holy Spirit, we depend solely upon thee to help us magnify Jesus Christ and point people to him. In his wonderful name we pray. Amen. When I was young, I suppose that my parents, I don't believe it was my grandparents, but I was very young, so I don't really recall receiving it. I just remember playing with it. I remember using it. Did anybody in here have a wagon? Anybody in here have a wagon? Oh, okay, good. I had one of those wagons that had the wooden slats in the sides that you put in. They were red, you know, and I had a little red wagon. And I would use that wagon to just, you know, move anything I wanted to. Had the thing that you held on the front, the tongue, and you could just pull it around. As I got older and lived in Louisville, Kentucky, we had a fireplace. And from time to time, I'd need to go get some firewood. And so I'd take my wagon, and I'd load up the firewood in the wagon, you know, and then I'd bring it to the door, and then I'd carry it in and set it by the fireplace. Sometimes it'd be time to get rid of the newspapers, and we were going to take them to a newspaper drive, and so they were tied all together, and they were very heavy. And so I'd get my wagon, and I'd load the wagon with the newspapers, you know, and then take it to the car and load it. It was very useful. Probably the most interesting and most memorable things I ever did was to ride my wagon. You know, if you had a hill, there was a little grade there behind our house there in West Virginia, and it was just enough, you know, that you weren't gonna, you know, kill yourself. And so I would jump in the thing, take out one slat where I could get my foot out and get a good run, and then I'd try to steer. Now that's not easy to do. It's kind of backwards, you know. And a time or two, I ended up in the drink, but that's okay. That's all right. But I had a great time with that wagon. It would carry a lot of things. May I tell you that this is a wagon load of promises right here. Over 800 promises from Almighty God is given to us in His Word. And F.B. Meyer, let me make sure I get this correct. Learn to put your hand on all spiritual blessings in Christ and say, "Mine." F.B. Meyer said that. And what a joy it is to be able to claim what God has given to us. He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Guess what? I'm a whosoever. I can claim that. I'm thankful for the promises that we have. And here in this passage, God says that He cannot lie. And throughout the Word of God in the Old Testament, we have covenants. Now, covenant, that's a testament. It is a will. It means an agreement made between two parties, a contract drawn up between two or more people. It is supposed to be unbreakable. And my friend, whenever God puts his his name on the dotted line to a promise, it is his nature that upholds that. He is holy, he cannot lie, and he will not ever break his promises. And we find in these covenants in the Old Testament, we have a covenant back here in our Constitution. And so I wanted to kind of touch on that just ever so briefly, but I wanted to expound on the fact of the covenants of Almighty God. If I could just ask you to go back in your mind to a man named Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, God said that my spirit should not always strive with man, and God destroyed this whole world with a flood. And my friend, it was a worldwide flood. And that is the reason why there are fossils of fish up on mountain peaks. That's why. And scientists cannot explain that. How in the world can there be fossilized fish up there on the peaks of mountains, up in the stratosphere, or whatever you want to call that, way up, thousands of feet up? Because the Bible says that every mountain was covered with water. And then when it was all said and done, and the water receded, and they got off the ark, and Noah looked, and God told Noah that he would never destroy the world again with a flood. Would never destroy the world again with water. He is going to destroy the world, and it'll be with fire, but he's never going to do it with water. And I think it's very important that he said this. Could you imagine the next time after the flood that it rained? Oh, here we go again! Could you imagine? I mean, because the hydrological cycle was in place and all that kind of thing, and so it would rain. It's just a natural thing. Summer in Florida, it rains every day, and we're thankful for it. We need it. We'd rather have it that way than in a hurricane. Amen? Amen. Amen. But God said, I will never destroy the world again with water, and I'm going to give you a token. I'm going to give you a sign, and that is his bow in the sky. Now, I'll tell you, have you ever seen a bright rainbow? Do you remember seeing it? You probably remember where it was. My mother was walking her dog, and she called me on the phone. She said, Mark, you need to get out of here. Can you see this? And I came running out the door. Didn't know what it was. Thought maybe something was going badly. She said, look at that. And it was just a gorgeous, bright rainbow. And it was. Have you ever seen a double rainbow? Yeah. That's interesting. That's great, you know. I don't know all the science behind that, meteorology behind that, the causes that, but a double rainbow. God put a bow in the sky, and it's gorgeous, and it's wonderful, and it's brilliant, and the colors, it's majestic. And you know what Noah did? He remembered the Lord's dread, and so he offered a sacrifice. He saw himself before a holy God, before a judging God, a God that can and will judge sin. And he just saw it. He heard the people pounding on the side of the ark, let us in, let us in. And it was too late because God had closed the door. God is a God of love, but God is a God of justice as well. And God will judge sin. And so he remembered the Lord's dread, and he sacrificed. God's covenant to Noah, the sign, the signature, the miraculous signature was a bow in the sky. And then there's another man comes to mind named Abraham. And God made a promise to Abraham. God promised him that he would be the father he said, look in the sky, count the number of stars. It's impossible. He said, that is like your descendants, your children, and those who would follow after you. The birth of a son was the miraculous signature on that covenant. Whatever he held as a 100-year-old man, and to the surprise of Sarah, 90 years old when Isaac was born. The birth of a son was the miraculous signature on the contract of the covenant of the promise of God. With that covenant came a miracle. With the covenant to Noah came a miracle. That was the bow in the sky. To Abraham, the birth of a son. And because he remembered the Lord's delivery, God gave to him something that he could do. Just as Noah sacrificed, he told Abraham, he said, circumcision is a reminder of the delivery of this son. And so every son to be born and the descendants of Abraham was to be circumcised. Circumcised specifically on the eighth day. And it's interesting that doctors today know that after the birth of a child, that the eighth day after the birth of a child, that that is the optimal time of blood clotting in the life of that infant. It will never be as strong as the eighth day, doctors tell us. Interesting. Is that a coincidence? No. God created us and he knew all about that. He chose the very best moment, the very best time to say circumcise that son. And so God's covenant to Abraham, God's covenant to Noah. And then let me give you another name that you're going to recognize. God's covenant to Moses. And he said, I'm going to give you the land. The gift of the land was his token. That was his miraculous signature. That's why God was so angry and so upset at the disbelief of God's people. When they would not obey and go and take the land, it was as if God signed it and he said, here you go, take the check and cash it anywhere. And they said, no, we can't. No, I'll go before you. I'll send in hornets and I'll run them out. You'll live in buildings that you did not build. You'll be protected by walls you did not construct. I've got everything waiting for you. A land flowing of the milk and honey. Here it is. And they said, no. So that whole generation had to die. And then Joshua and Caleb are the only ones who believed God. And they and the next generation went in. And the signature of God's miraculous power to that covenant where he signed the promise was received. And here they were 40 years in the wilderness, had no weapons really to speak of, had no way of taking any walled cities, anything like that, had no soldier training, all these kinds of things. They'd just been surviving in the wilderness. They had been slaves in Egypt. And they, with the exception of one time when they allowed sin in the camp, they were successful and victorious because of God's miraculous token, the gift of the land. And so God gave them something, just like God gave Noah the sacrifice, remember the Lord's dread, and to Abraham the circumcision, remember the Lord's delivery. He gave to Moses and the people of Israel the Sabbath to remember the Lord's day. He said, this will be a sign between you and me and before all the world. He gave the Israelites the Sabbath. And by the way, a day of rest is a good thing. You might say, well, we're not under the law. Hold it, please. When was the law given? I believe you'll find it in Exodus chapter 20. You'll find that the day of rest, the principle of the day of rest was given in the book of Genesis. You'll find that God gave the example of the rest. And so he set it in that this covenant to Moses when he signed the gift of the land. Now stay with me here. Stay with me because here's where it comes to us. There was a covenant to Noah. That was a contract from God to man. And then a covenant to Abraham. Contract from God to man. A covenant to Moses. And now we have a new covenant. We have a New Testament. We have a new promise from God to man. As I said earlier, I believe on last Sunday or perhaps on Thursday night, that religion is man seeking after God. Christianity is God seeking after man. It's the covenant to believers. The way that God seals this covenant, the way that he signs miraculously the covenant, a believer, when they're saved and they come in faith believing that Jesus Christ died for them, that he would forgive their sin, the payment for our sin was paid at the cross, the way that is miraculously sealed and promised is the giving of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Spirit of God when someone comes to Christ in the forgiveness of sin. 1 John says, if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. And so this is the way that God confirms that. He confirmed this with a sacrifice to Noah. He confirmed circumcision to Abraham, the Sabbath to Moses. And now we come today, a way for us to remember the covenant that God has given to us, eternal life. And that's the supper, the Lord's Supper. This is not salvation, okay? This is a way for us to remember His death until He comes. This is a way for us to thank Him and to praise Him and to roll back the calendar, if you will, and to thank Him for His grace and to thank Him for His goodness, to thank Him for His promises. We're not taking any risks when we step out on the Word of God, Vance Havner said. Adoniram Judson said, my future is as bright as the promises of God. Do you see in our text here, look please at verse number 17 again, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, that means He does not change, the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, a solemnly assured promise. That's what that word oath means, a solemnly assured promise. That by two unchangeable, immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. If someone asks you a question, is there anything God cannot do? You can take them to that verse. It's impossible for God to lie. Well, there are lies in the Bible. Sure there are. You see, the Bible is full of truth. And when it records someone lying, it records the honest truth about the lie. That's just the way it works. But God's not the one who lied. God's not the one. It's impossible for Him to lie, that we may have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. In that Constitution, and I hope you're reading over it. In there, I hope that you have read over that church covenant. You say, well, what do we do? When we join this church, we say, okay, by God's grace, God being my helper, I will strive to live in the way that God has given us in His Word to follow. Now, there are 10 points in that covenant. Put your seatbelt on, okay? 10 points, you'll be surprised at how simple they are. I'll sum them up for you very, very briefly and very, very quickly. Number one, I will attend church. Number two, I'll read the Bible and pray. Number three, I'll love our church family. Number four, I'll attend special revival meetings and opportunities to study His Word. Number five, I'll teach my family. Number six, I'll serve in the church. Number seven, I'll give to the Lord. Number eight, I'll help those who are suffering. Number nine, I'll spread the gospel. And number 10, if I leave, I'll keep serving God. Now, there's a lot of flowery language and scripture verses and all that kind of thing, but that's the brass tacks of the church covenant. Us saying to God, as Noah said to God, there as he offered that sacrifice. As Abraham said to God, as he trusted God when he had no child. And he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And Moses, as he was 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai, and he came down and his face glowed, and he had the 10 commandments in his hands. Folks, Jesus Christ, for 33 and a half years, walked this earth. For 33 and a half years, he was God in the flesh, right here, that people could see and touch and meet for the very first time in this way, looking and acting like mankind. And for 3.5 years, public ministry. And then he laid his life down on the cross and he paid for your redemption and for mine. And he offered a promise. The promise was, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know me, you're going to heaven. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Back in 2001, Jose Canseco, he was playing for the White Sox. And he was 37 years old. He was toward the end of his career. He was not he had hit some home runs a lot, you know, in his career, but he was no longer a home run threat. At his age, he was just slowing down a little bit. I can identify. Wow. Never an athlete like that, but you know, your mind doesn't know how old the body is. It just remembers what you used to do. Well, this particular day, they were playing. It was Cancer Survivors Night. And there are 451 cancer survivors in the stadium. And during warm-up, there were four boys that came down and was watching him warm up and getting some batting practice before the game. He turned and he looked and he could spot them. None of them had any hair. And they were just standing there watching. His heart went out to him. He said, looked at the four boys and he said, I'll try to hit a couple homers for you. That was Jose Canseco. They were excited. They went back and they started spreading the word. Jose Canseco is going to hit a couple home runs. Word got back to the dugout during the game. And right at the beginning of the game, one of the guys came over and said, hey, I understand you're going to hit a couple home runs today. He said, what? He said, well, that's what they said. First at bat, his first at bat, he got up there, and he cranked one just over the wall. Just over the wall. You're talking about pressure. The fourth inning, he got back up and hit a second home run. Boy, the place went nuts. Listen, folks. There were four boys who were excited and thrilled that Jose Canseco kept his word. Let me tell you something. Our God has never and never will strike out. He has never and he never will strike out. Satan thought that he had him. He thought he had him down for sure. And like in a boxing match, they give him the count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He's out. Well, Satan was probably counting in that way. He's dead. 1, 2, and then he heard another count. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and up from the grave he arose. Now listen, people. He has never struck out. He has never failed in a promise. He is coming back. And until that day, we remember his covenant that he made with his own blood at the cross. And this morning, we receive that to fellowship with him, to thank him. So if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, this is not for you. But I'll tell you what is for you. You can receive the greatest gift that mankind could ever have. That's the gift of salvation. It's not difficult, and it's not confusing. A 6-year-old boy understood it. I know you can. We're sinners on the way to a devil's hell in need of a holy Savior, and Jesus is that one. And if you'll come to him as a sinner, he will come to you as your Savior, and he will save you today. Will you claim him? Will you put your faith and trust in him? If you do, then I've got good news for you. Then you can fellowship with us in just a few moments. Because you're a child of God. But don't do this if you're not saved. Please don't. This is not the sacrifice that our Savior made. The Holy Son of God is not to be trifled with. As a Christian, if you're not walking with God, if you have unconfessed sin in your life, if the Holy Spirit is pounding on you and chastening you and trying, and you're backslidden before Him, and you refuse to repent and you refuse to confess that, you refuse to turn from that sin and turn back to your Savior who loved you and died for you and taking you to heaven one day, if you obstinately are going to leave this place and continue on in that lifestyle of sin, please don't do this. Please don't do this. Say, well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but right now you're a prodigal, aren't you? Why not bow your head in a few moments? Say, God, I'm embarrassed at what I've done. Your word says that you are faithful and just to forgive me of all my sin if I confess it to you. I've confessed it before and I've failed, and I've confessed it before and I've failed, and I'm embarrassed. But Lord, would you make a change in my life? I really want to turn from that. Would you forgive me and cleanse me and make me new again? I want to commit. I want your Holy Spirit to be in charge of me and push that in the back. May it be something in the history of God's forgiveness. Lord, I'm looking forward to serving you. God will see your heart. He will know your sincerity. Then do this. Do this. And seal that. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. If you do not know Jesus and the forgiveness of sin, then today, please, you do not know how much longer you have. We do not know how much longer we have on this earth before the rapture. We do not know that. It could happen today. Or your time could be up today. Will you ask Him to forgive your sins and save your soul and take you to heaven when you die? Will you do that right now? Say, preacher, I'd like to. Would you let me help you? I can't get saved for you, but I can point you to Jesus. He'll do the saving. Won't you pray something like this? Just whisper it to God. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you rose again from the dead. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and my life and save my soul. I'm asking you to save me today. In your wonderful name I pray.